Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, that you were here by your Spirit. Lord, that you wanted to touch hearts and change lives. Lord, we pray this morning that you will just be glorified and uplifted. Lord, that you'll speak through me. You'll give me the words to speak. Lord, that it will be good seed in good soil this morning. That will bring a great harvest. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Andy would have told you last week, but I'm going to start a series on breakthroughs. And if we're honest, at some point in our life, or even now, there seem to be more often than not, we need breakthroughs in our lives. Sometimes it's in our own life. Sometimes it's in our families. Sometimes it's in our workplace. Sometimes it's, you know, in the greater family. Sometimes it's even in our church. So I just want to talk over the next few weeks about breakthroughs and the fact that we all need to rise up for the breakthrough. We can't sustain things. We can't stay, at the same place forever. We need to be pushing on, moving on. And it's part of life. It's not just part of the church. It's part of life. It's what we do as individuals. We were never created to stop at a level. You know, when you're 13, 14, you're learning at school, you're preparing for GCSEs and things like that, and you get to 16 and you think, well, the education's over. We were designed to learn all our lives. We were designed to actually improve and to prosper in everything, in our minds, in our hearts, in our capabilities, in our skills. And let's face it, as we get older, we might not be as fast as we once were, but we should be smarter. So we might not have the pace and the energy to dig an hole like a 25-year-old, but we should be smart enough to let them do it. And take glory for him. But we're all in a point where we need even now, breakthroughs in our lives. Breakthroughs in our families. Breakthroughs, especially in our church. We need to be looking for a breakthrough even in our church life. Well, you might think of a church is good. The church is good when we've impacted the entire town and county in the name of Jesus, and we're seeing people respond. And the presence of God is in this place in such a way that people don't even drive up the road for the conviction of the Holy Spirit upon people. That would clear our car park, wouldn't it? You know what I mean? Then we could say, I think the church is nearly there. So I want to talk about breakthroughs, but the first thing I'm going to be looking at this week is breakthrough is actually about our perspective. Breakthrough is about your perspective. If you see yourself as a victim continuously, you will never break through. You see, it's not about what has happened to us that's the problem. It's our perspective of what's happened to us can be the problem. And God's always watching us, because it's not what's happened to us, it's how we respond in the situation that God's looking for. God's looking for how we set our hearts towards him in the problem. Now, I've said this before, we don't give thanks to God for the problem, but we can thank him in the problem. The problem I have is when people say things like, well, God let it happen. What they're really saying is, he did it. Because when we say God let it happen, what's that really mean? Because God let everything happen. I mean, at the end of the day, if God were going to stop anybody, he'd have slapped that fruit out of Eve's hand because of all the problems it was going to cause thereafter. But he let that happen. Why? Because he gives us all choice. He gives us a choice to do right, to do wrong. He gives us a choice to sit in a situation and look to Jesus, or sit in the situation and look at the problem. God's given us all the choice. I don't think Adam is any different really from any of us. He had the best dad. He had the best church. There were only two of them, but it was the best church. At least Jesus was there in physical form, and he still rebelled. You know what I mean? It's interesting how Paul actually blames him all the way through, where he blamed his wife. So I want to just, I haven't got a particular start verse, and I don't really know where I'm going, I'm being honest, because, you know, I've been the last few days working this through my life, so I haven't got a three-point sermon like I've been doing recently. This is just some stuff from my heart, and I'm just going to try and bang through them and see how we get. So I'm going to read some Psalms. If you want, I've just scribbled some little pencil marks down, but I want you to listen up, and I'll ask some questions as we go along. So in Psalm 3, it says this. And Psalm 3, verse 1 and 2, it says this. O Lord, how many are the foes? How many rise up against me? How many are saying of me, God will not deliver him? Chapter 4. Answer me when I call you, O my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Be merciful to me and hear my prayer. Chapter 5. Give ear to my word, O Lord. Consider my sights. Listen to my cry for help. My King, my God, for you I pray. Jump to chapter 6. O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger or discipline me in your wrath. Be merciful to me, Lord, for I am faint. O Lord, heal me, and my bones are in agony. My soul is in anguish. How long, O Lord, how long? Chapter 7. O Lord, my God, I take refuge in you. There seems to be a pattern occurring there. Jump to chapter 10. Why, O Lord, do you stand afar off? Why do you hide yourself in times of trouble? Chapter 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and every day have sorrow of my heart? How long will my enemies triumph over me? Look to me, O Lord, and answer me, my God. Have you ever been there? Are you there? Where you cry out to God in a situation and it seems like he's so far away. The psalmist, and it continues throughout the book of Psalms, there's loads of them, where he starts off by saying, God, where are you? Why, oh Lord? There's nothing wrong with asking God why. There is a problem, though, when you camp there, when you stay there. The psalmist often cried out to God, why? Why, God? Why have you allowed this? Why is this going on in my life? And often that's the response of our hearts when I talk to people who are in times of trial or tribulation. They have to say, why is this happening to me? Why is it happening to me? Why is it happening to you? Why is it happening to our family? Why is it we seem to get through one thing and there's something else it's again? Why is it we think, you know, life should be a garden, a rose garden, but we seem to be tangled in the thorns of that garden? Because life's life. Life happens. Stuff happens. We're living in a fallen world, a sinful world. Life happens. But in those situations, we need to be encouraged. I don't know if you've ever heard the analogy about the mountaintops. You know, we get up to the mountaintops and we're in the presence of God. And that's a pretty good analogy. But I think in God's terminology, in God's timing, it's not mountaintop to mountaintop. It's like you climb up a mountain and you think you're at the top. You think you've got there and you climb on and you've arrived. And then you look further along the path. And there's a higher peak to rise up to. I remember the first time I went hiking in the Dales many, many years ago with school. We were going up this hill and we went up and we got there. And I looked and it was misty and you couldn't see much. But there was another hill, which was the same hill. And then we climbed up that one and we got to there. And then there was another one and it seemed to go on forever. You see, God's got this idea where he wants to raise us up to him level by level. The problem is that you go through a time of pushing through and you have a breakthrough and you get there and you think, I've arrived. But God's drawing us closer. He's drawing us closer. I was at a meeting this week and I don't say it's a vision. My mind might have been running off and pictures were flying through my head and I was thinking about what I was going to preach about this morning and I realized that we often come over the cliff face and we think we've done well, only then to go into a bit of a trough, a valley. And it's in the valley where we need the breakthroughs. It's in the valleys when we feel we're on our own, when we feel there's no one alongside us, when it seems there are people there, but really do they understand? Do they know what's going on? Do they feel like I feel? And I had this picture, this pattern form in my mind of many years ago when I used to do a lot of walking. I would walk across this valley bottom, and I was walking up to knee-high in slush and mud and water. I wasn't on the path. I was orienteering, and the path wasn't clear, but there was mist all around me, and I couldn't see where I was going. I was trying to run off a compass point, trying to work my way across, and I was reminded of this because as I struggled across on my own, there was no wind, but I couldn't hear anything anyway. I couldn't hear voices of anybody else nearby. And for the first time in my life, I felt very alone and very vulnerable in a situation where I didn't really know what was around me. I had a map, I had a compass, but really I was up to my knees in bogs and I was climbing through stuff, and it almost seemed like a scene from an horror movie. As I turned, I was so tired. I'd been at this for hours, and I got through and I got to this mound of muck, and I needed to rest. And sometimes we need to rest. And I laid down. I just dropped back onto this mound, as it were. And as I looked up, I could see blue sky. The sun was still shining. Yet around me, I couldn't see anything. I couldn't hear anything. I was disorientated. I couldn't really work out what was going on. But when I looked up, I could see blue sky. The sun was still, it wasn't the end of the world. There wasn't apocalyptic zombies crawling across towards me. Even though your mind gets going. But I looked up, I lifted my eyes up, and I could see the blue sky. The mist, the fog was only probably 4 or 5 meters deep. But beyond that was, because I was in a valley. And my life at that moment, as I walked, reminded me of my walk with God. There's times in my life where all I've got is the Word of God as my map and my compass. As I step forward into things, not quite knowing, as not sinking in sin, but just sinking in drudgery of life. Getting up, going to work, coming home, going to bed, getting up, going to work, hoping Saturday you're going to have a chance to clean the house and relax, and then back to church, and then back to work on Monday, and just a drudgery of life. But as I laid there and looked up, I smiled because I thought, God, you see everything from your perspective. You see the hill in front of me, the mountain. You see the valley that I'm in. You see where I've been and where I'm going. You see it all. You're looking from above down and you're calling out with instruction just to keep on going. And one of the greatest things you can have in breakthroughs in your life is just to keep on going. Just to keep on. Rest when you need to rest. Have a good sleep pattern. Have, healthy food, exercise. And rest when you need to. But have a heart that's continuously driving you forward. Have some motivation to get on. It's not the end of the world and God's not finished with any of us. We've just got to keep on going. But in those moments, it can seem like we're so alone. Do you know, you can feel so alone even though people are sat right next to you. Because we forget. Maybe they don't feel like I feel. Maybe they've not gone through what I've gone through. Guys, nobody goes through the same thing exactly the same as everybody else. But the Bible does tell us there's nothing ever come upon man that's not already been before. Somebody's always gone through it. And believe it or not, there's somebody always worse off than you and me. There's always somebody worse off. But it's perspective. Well, I was laid on the floor, my perspective of the blue sky. When I sat up and looked around, I couldn't see much at all. As I pressed forward, I saw a shadow of a wall. And from that wall, I followed it till I found the gate and then the sty. And then I were back on the path and away we went. The fog soon cleared as I climbed out of it and I continued to go up. But as I looked back, once I was into the clear, I could see the mist in the valley, which I'd walked across. It's a season in your life. It's not forever. It's just a season. The phrase that I said is, I looked up. In the Bible, it actually tells us a number of times, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. King James Version. Lift up your eyes. 15 times it occurs in the Bible. Where God's actually saying to somebody, lift up your eyes. There is one situation in the Bible where it says, he lifted up his eyes. And that's Lot. And it says he lifted up his eyes, King James, and he saw the great watered plains of Sodom and Gomorrah. See, he lifted up his eyes and saw something that he desired. But all the other times where it's something where it says lifted up his eyes, lift up your eyes, is when God says to somebody, lift up your eyes. Because we were, another analogy is the Bible talks about us being like eagles. Eagles. But chickens have got reds down. Eagles are always looking around. Chickens are looking on the floor at the scraps of food that are available straight in front of them. Where the eagle is surveying the entire area. And we all know this, when the storm comes, the eagle actually doesn't run and hide. He soars on the storm. When the Bible calls us more than conquerors, it's because we soar with the storms. We rise up in them. Because it's a perspective and it's an art issue, not a problem issue. The problem is not the problem. The problem is how we handle the problem. The problem is not what somebody's done to us, as horrendous and sad and horrific that might be. The problem is, how do I walk through that now? The problem isn't somebody else's opinion of me. It's how I respond to their opinion of me. That's what God's looking for. When the Bible says God, you know, where God says turn the cheek, he's not actually telling us always to turn the cheek physically, because not many people get slapped in the face these days. Unless you're married and you say something, you shouldn't. But beyond that, you don't. But sometimes we need to turn the cheek of what someone said, done. And it's hard. Because sometimes we're looking for a breakthrough, but God's looking at our hearts. We're looking for a breakthrough in ministry or the glory of God or something coming into our lives from God. But God's watching and saying, how are you going to handle this situation? How are you handling this situation? See, I believe God's got great gifts for every one of us. Amazing things. But I think also, if he gave us it too soon, we'd spoil it. You know, if somebody was to give Rowan, I say somebody, was to give Rowan a £20 note, she'd probably eat it. Wouldn't she? Give Harriet it, she'd go straight out and spend it. I might be wrong here, but she might go straight out and spend it. Sweet. Esther, on the other hand, might be a bit smarter. She might spend a little bit and save some of it. It's the same £20 note, but three different perspectives, because there are different levels of maturity. And God's got so much he wants to give us, but can we handle what he wants to give us without it filtering through our fingers and going away? All them psalms that I read to you are cries to God. And often in those times of cries to God, God's saying, lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes. In Hebrews, it talks about looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame. It is interesting also that one of the times in, the only time in the New Testament where it says, lift up your eyes, is when Jesus says to his disciples, lift up your eyes, because the harvest fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are so few. Interesting, that's the only time he said in the New Testament, lift up your eyes. Because the disciples were so focused on whether Jesus had had his lamb sandwich, can't say pork, can we? A ham sandwich. But more focused on whether he'd had his dinner or not. And Jesus is focusing on people that need him. His disciples were focused on the immediate call of their stomachs, where Jesus was looking at the people that were coming to him to be fed by the Spirit of God. And sometimes in our own lives, one of the reasons I think that problems hit us and why the devil keeps going at us is to keep our eyes on the situation and problem instead of looking out to the people that really need help. Because while I'm focused on my little toe that seems to hurt, I haven't got a little toe that hurts, but I'm trying to use an analogy. While I'm talking about my little problem, my little circumstances, which is consuming my life, there are people that are still going to hell because I'm focused on my problem instead of walking by the Spirit and listening to what he's saying. Guys, work is always going to be hard. And let's face it, your job that you are doing is the worst job ever. Nobody else understands your job. It's your job and it's awful. If it was that bad, you'd leave and go somewhere else. But everyone's got the worst job, haven't they? Everybody's husband could be better. Everybody's wife could be better. Everybody's kids could respond better. Everybody, it's like that, it goes on forever. But life's life. But in those situations, God's looking for us to have breakthroughs, and part of the breakthroughs is change our perspective and stop looking at my problem, my situation, and saying, you know what, God? You knew this was going to happen to me. You've already got a plan for me to walk through this situation. You've already got it sorted. If I really believe Romans 8:28, that you're going to do some good through this, then I'd trust you. And I'd stop crying out like the psalmist did in all those verse ones. You remember, I only did the verse ones and twos in some of them. Because it gets a lot better when you read the psalms. You need to read the entire psalm. In fact, read the book of psalms. I mean, sometimes you find some people in there so depressed. I mean, it makes you feel like having a good day. But then you read the last part of it and it brings everything in perspective. I need to remind us all, if you have got a Bible, if you want to turn to Ephesians, apparently the Bible's falling to bits again. Ephesians chapter 2. It says this, as for you, it's talking to the church, it's talking to us. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit that is now at work in those who are disobedient. I just remind you that because everybody who's not saved, we were once there with them. We were once no different to them. Don't ask God to strike them with lightning and burn them in hell. Because God's patience for you brought you to salvation. Start asking God to save them. And if you don't like them, ask them to go to another church. You know, pray for them to get saved and send them to another church. Because it's about the kingdom of God. But we were once there with them. We were once there in that situation. They're not being awful to us. They're just doing what's natural. They're doing what's normal. They're doing what's instinctive to them. We're the ones who's got the Holy Spirit living in our lives. We're the ones who God's allowing that fruit of the Spirit to shine through us. They haven't got that. So why do we expect them to be patient at the junction when we're driving our car when they've not been given a Spirit that's got patience? Ooh, that's a bit closer to it. What about the queue? God's not given them, who are non-Christians, patience and joy and long-suffering, whatever you call it. He hasn't given them that, but he's given us it. We need to remember that we were once like them, but God's brought that. All of us also lived amongst them at one time. Guys, for some of you, it could be, you know, 90 years ago, but you lived amongst them at one point, gratifying the cravings of a sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But, I always like the buts. I like buts in the Bible. But because of his great love for us, not because of what we've done, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in our transgressions. Even though we were dead when we called out to him, he made us alive. Perspective change. We're no longer victims in a situation. We're saints in a situation. We're people, men and women of God, in a situation. And then it continued, by grace you have been saved. Again, it's not because any of us were so good looking. It's not because any of us changed anything. It's because of his grace for us. I was in Glasgow recently. It was quite funny because the guy I was with went into a fish shop and he's buying us some fish and chips. He says, he said, what do you want? I said, oh, I'm looking. I said, I'll have a fish supper. I didn't quite know what that meant. I'm assuming it's fish and chips. I didn't realize it meant fish and chips twice. So I ended up with two big fish, a huge pile of chips, and I thought, well, in Scotland, do what the Scots do. You know what I mean? I've got my tin of iron brew. You know what I mean? And my pile of fish and chips. I were happy. But while he's getting that, I goes outside, and there's this guy there at the bus stop. So I starts talking to him. I asked him, this is what I asked him. Do you live around here? He says, yeah, I do. He said, if you want any drugs, you need to go down. Do I look like something? But anyway, that's what he said to me. I said, well, actually, to be honest with you, That's part of what I would say is my former life. He says, what do you mean? I says, I really believe God has got a message. He said, I don't believe in God. I said, that's fine. The God who you do not believe in has got a message for you. And he looked at me, so I gave him a word from God. The guy's jaw dropped open, and he's staring at me. And he says, are you an angel? I says, would God have sent an angel with an English accent to a place in Glasgow? He says, no. I goes, I'm not an angel, I'm like you. I says, but I know this Jesus. And God laid something else in my heart, and I told him something else about his life. And I says, you need to see, get a Bible, find a church. Because I knew I would go in the next day. And then, as it always happens, the phone rang. So I just left him with it. My mate come out, we went. But the fields are white unto harvest. But if I focus on my problems, I'm not hearing what God's saying about the person that he died for, as well as dying for me. I'm not hearing him crying out, going, I love these people. Will you reach out to them? We were once there, but because of his great love for us, he drew us to him. It continues. And God, who raised us up with Christ and has seated us in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he might show his incomparable riches of grace, expressed in his kindness towards us in Christ. We don't really get that, but there's a time coming, and we're already seeing part of it, where God's demonstrating his mercy and grace to the spiritual world out there because of his grace towards us. When the devil accuses us of things, Jesus is our barrister and saying he's covered. He's covered in the blood. He's been forgiven. He's been set free. But sometimes in the problems that we have in life, we're asking God for a breakthrough, but we're responding in the problem like people do in the world. We're responding in the problem like sinners. And we're not sinners saved by grace. We are saints who sometimes sin. And we need to respond like that. And it continues, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourself. It is a gift from God, so none of us can boast. So that no one can boast, it says that. And for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance for us to do. Have you ever wondered why you've got problems? Because God's got a plan and a purpose for your life, and the devil sees the fingerprints of God on your life, and he's trying to stop you doing the thing that you were created to do. We're in a battle. But whenever we focus on the problem, we find ourselves in a misty area, in a valley where we're sinking up to our knees, not knowing what's going on. Sometimes in those situations, we need to lift our eyes up, cry out to God, and seek God for the path that he's got before us, trusting in him as we go along the way. Yes, today you might have a problem. I'll guarantee this. By the end of the year, you'll have another problem. By the end of the week for some people, by the end of today, you might even have another problem. But you're going to have problems. But it's up to us whether we focus on that problem or whether we rise up and seek God about things. Now, if you're in a dodgy situation, abusive situation, there's nothing wrong with getting out of those situations, but seek God in what's going on. And if your boss is taking a mick or whatever, you need to seek God about these things. But they're not our dwelling place. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, it doesn't say even though I camp in the valley of the shadow. And let's face it, guys, there are some Christians, and none of you are here, you know, the people who listen to this, you may know them in other churches, who actually like the problem that they're having in their life because it gives their life meaning. It gives their life meaning. When it's Jesus who wants to give our life meaning and purpose, not the problems we find ourselves in. I like hearing testimonies, I really do. But testimonies are only what was and what is happening. But God sees what's going to happen. He sees the equipping. He sees the fact that he's given us the word of God, he's given us the spirit of God, he's set angels around us, and he sees us walking into triumphant glory in Christ Jesus. But sometimes we can't see anything because we're looking at the problem instead of lifting our eyes up, looking onto Jesus, going, yeah, I've got a problem. I'm not talking about, don't deny the problem. In Mark, it says, you know, say to the mountain. It doesn't say deny the mountain. It says speak to the mountain. So first of all, you've got to acknowledge there is a problem. And when you've acknowledged the problem, then start speaking to the problem in the name of Jesus. We've got 2 Corinthians. Let's try that one. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. What's it say here? For we live by faith and not by sight. Or in the New King James, it says we walk by faith and not by sight. We can't look at the problems around us. And in some senses, we see what's going on with our eyes. And we make judgments about what's going on with our eyes and with our mind. But we don't walk by sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. And that's not blindness. That's seeing something beyond. If you go into the Old Testament, if you look up Elijah, a great army came to attack him. And he goes out and looks, goes, yeah, okay, whatever. His servant's panicking, looking in the flesh, looking with his eyes, panic. And he says, the prophet says, God opened his eyes. And he saw the mighty angels around. See, we've got to open our eyes to the things of God and walk by faith, not by sight. Seeing, just because somebody's having a go at you, yes, it might be personal, but it's probably something behind them that's having a go. At the end of the day, I've taught this before. To some people, we smell really nice. And I'm not talking about our aftershave. But to some people, we stink like death. We do. So don't expect everybody to really like us and encourage us. In Galatians, I've been reading Galatians. I've really been unpacking this recently. It's quite amazing. Galatians 6 and verse 7, it says, do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that sinful nature reaps destruction. But the one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let no one become weary in doing good, for at the proper time you will reap an harvest if you do not give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Let's do good to people. Let's at least not respond in the same way they respond to us. Let's calm it down a little bit. Let's just have the breakthroughs. Guys, I've been in situations over the years where I've had people turn on me and go for me. And I've been well justified to give them, well, to sort it out. But before I've stepped into it, God just went, apologize. For what? Apologize. And there's a key parts in my life where I've gone up to people and gone, you know what, if I've done something wrong, I'm really sorry. It's killed it instantly. It's killed it. But if I'd have gone and go, no, I'm right, you're wrong, we'd have had a big problem. But I apologized. And it was sorted out. You all know the bit in Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him and he will make your path straight. That's not a quaint little card you put on your windowsill or a picture on your wall. It's actually part of the Word of God. It's part of the Word of God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. God, I don't see what you're doing, but I'm going to trust you anyway. Walking by faith is basically saying, God, I don't have it all together. I mean, does anybody have it all together? Can anybody honestly say, I have not, guys, I'm going to be honest with you, I do not have it all together. I'm no different from any of you guys. I struggle with the same things you guys struggle from. You know, some different, some the same. And I've got to fight my way through it. The only difference is I've got the devil having a go at me at some things that he's not having a go at you, and you're different and I'm different, but it's the same thing. Struggling through life, just trying to get by. But I watch people. Sometimes I go and have a cuppa in Sobridge, and I watch people go by. Do you know what? Thousands of people are just trying to get through life with no hope at the end. No hope. And yet we have that hope. That no matter what problem we're going through, we have a hope in Christ that he will sustain us and carry us, that we will get through it eventually. And if it kills us doing it, we're better off anyway. We're still better off. Psalm 10, a psalm that I actually mention, I'll remind you. It says, "Why, O Lord, do you stand afar? Why do you hide your face in times of trouble?" Sometimes we feel like, why are you hiding your face, God? Have I sinned? Have I done something? Have I? And God's not hiding his face from us. If we have sinned, we just repent and move on. But if you read that Psalm 10 and get down to verse 14, he says, "But you, O God, do see trouble and grief." But you, O Lord, do see trouble and grief. He sees what's going on in our lives. Guys, if you love a child, your own child, your only child, your many children, whatever, you may not respond in times of trouble when something comes because you're watching your child to see how they respond in that situation. Sometimes you need them to grow up a little bit. When they're two and they do something on the potty, you can celebrate that and clap your hands. But at the age of 10, if they're still using the potty in the living room, there's a problem. But as your child grows, as a child or a niece or a nephew or a friend or somebody relative, as you see a child grow, sometimes you want to help them, but you also know that by not helping them, they're going to grow a little bit. Sometimes God just stands a little bit back because he's going, "You're going to grow through this. You're going to," and he's not. He knows our trouble. He knows what you're going through. And he says, where am I? "Oh Lord, you see the trouble and the grief. You consider it and take it in hand. The victim commits himself to you, and you are the helper of the fatherless." Verse 15 is good. God gets violent. I like this. "Break the arms of the wicked and evil man." God, break his nose, will you? You know what I mean? "Smack out his teeth," another psalm says. You know, you can pray like that. God, but you do it. Okay, you know what I mean? "Call him to account for the wicked he has done. The Lord is the king of forever and ever. The nations will perish from the land. But you hear, O Lord, the desires of the afflicted. You encourage them and listen to their cry. You defend the fatherless and the oppressed in order that the man who is on the earth may tremble no more." Even in the darkest situations, foggiest, which analogy you want to use, when we quiet our hearts, we take our eyes off the situation, we lift our eyes up, then we hear the small, quiet voice just calling us forward. If anything, one thing it says is, "You're doing well. You're doing good. You're doing well. Keep going. You're doing good. Keep coming forward." There's another psalm in the Bible. Psalm 43. It says, "Vindicate me, O God, and plead my case against ungodly men." Have you ever been there? Vindicate me, God. Vindicate me. But regardless of the circumstances, when you get to the end of that chapter, it says this. He talks to himself, "Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God." Change of perspective. It's changed from "vindicate me" to, "You know what? I'm still going to praise you. I'm still going to worship you." And there's another cracking Psalm 62. And this is a good one. And I've asked the band if we can end with a song this morning, because this psalm starts off with, "My soul finds rest in God alone. My salvation comes from him." But verse 5, this is Psalm 62 and verse 5. It says, "Find rest, O my soul, in God alone. My hope comes from him. He alone is my rock and my saviour. He is my fortress. I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my hope depends on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." You know, you may not get the breakthrough today that you were hoping for, but it is coming. It is coming. But if you change your perspective, it won't be as big as what you thought. It is coming. But take heart, my soul. Rest, my soul, my mind, our hearts. Rest in God. Because when our hearts and our minds and our souls rest in God, it changes the perspective on everything. Amen. So we're just going to sing this song. I'd like to, you know, think through the words as we sing it. And if you are in a situation or circumstances where you need a breakthrough, then tell yourself these words in the song. Speak to yourself, I need to rest in the arms of a loving God who I can trust in. Amen. But I will say this, if you need prayer, because this is body ministry, this isn't about me, but if you need, you'd like someone just to pray with you right now, you don't have to get into the situation, circumstance, but you're just going, you know what, I need some prayer right now for something. If that's you, just wave at me, raise your hand up, and then people that's around you, I'm just going to ask them to come alongside you and pray with you. Is that all right? So anybody, so there's Ian and Sarah, there's Mags at the back, anybody else? Okay, you guys all need to be preaching next week, or repenting for lying through your teeth. Okay, I'm being facetious. But, so Mags at the back, can some people get round Mags and just pray with her situation? And then Sarah and Ian, if some people want to get around there, and we'll just spend a few minutes. Or if anybody else, just wave and grab some people around you.
Yeah. your faithfulness, your faithfulness. I'm still in your hands. This is my confidence. You've never failed me. Your promise still stands. Great is your faithfulness, your faithfulness.
People, Lord, who are looking for a breakthrough, or people that need a breakthrough in the future, Lord, that we will lift our eyes up and see you, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, that you will continually draw us forward, encouraging us and being with us. Thank you, Jesus, Lord, for all that you're going to do. These awesome and amazing people. Amen.